Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Welcome to SETI Alpha 3. I am your host, Daniel Prue, and joining me as always are my co-hosts, Philip and Darren. Hey guys, this is our last injection of new Star Trek for a long time. I mean, not a long time, not like
forever.
It's been in the past.
Forever.
But for a while.
For a couple parsecs.
So how are you guys doing?
Yeah. A couple parsecs. I'm ready to start watching season 5 of The Expanse. I haven't watched yet, so I've been watching MASH and Stargate, so I'm good. I'm just shifting franchises.
I've been amused. I don't know if y'all have been paying attention to TrekCore and Twitter, but they've been like tweeting, like they did like a
storm.
Now that Star Trek, or you know, if you're missing Star Trek, watch, and then like would list like every sci-fi property that ever exists.
Sliders,
Doctor
and
Who,
Quantum Leap, and yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, which I thought was because they don't usually talk non-Trek, but I thought that was funny.
It's not a bad. I had a double take though because I'm like, is this TrekCore that's sending this out? Because
I was gonna say I did start one new series. And I'm not familiar with the source material, so I may be enjoying it more than people who are. The Watch. There were a million commercials for it on BBC America during the Doctor Who New Year's special. It's based on, oh Lord, I'm going to get the author wrong and everyone's going to yell at me. Terry Pratchett, I think.
That's wrong, bro!
No, I know. I can't remember who it is. But anyway, it's interesting because it's like fantasy. Yeah, I guess like a fantasy thing, but it's like The Watch and they're all like this police force in, you know, like sort of a fantasy realm of magic and stuff. So it's kind of interesting. It's funny. It has that sort of, you know, British humor kind of style. So anyway, BBC America.
Fantasy, police fantasy. So it's like that Will Smith Netflix movie with the orcs?
Except it's like, you know, like during those like kind of times. You know, it's not modern.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay. Is it like
Discworld
serious or is it like a comedy or like...
It's like a British series where it's like, I mean, it's serious, but there are funny moments, you know.
Interesting.
And I think the characters are all interesting because, like, one's a werewolf, one's like a troll. It's like think of like the character from Thor Ragnarok, the rock guy, all made of rule. You know.
Yeah.
He's a troll. But anyway, it's a fun series, it looks
like. Piss off, ghost! Darren, you mentioned last week and just now as well that you have been watching Stargate, and... over the past week, I think three or four people have told me that they've been watching Stargate. Did it just come to Netflix?
I think it just came back to Netflix. I think that's just, it's easier now to watch, because I think it was on Prime for a while and then it was like off Prime, but you could buy it. And so, but yeah, it just, I think one or two weeks ago came back on Netflix, all 10 seasons. So it's very easy to watch now.
What about all those spinoffs? Are they on there as well?
Probably. I haven't checked Atlantis and Universe. No, I haven't.
No one cares about those ones? Is that
My favorite's SG-1, so that's what I'm watching. There's lots to watch. 10 seasons, Daniel. And this is like what 10 seasons used to be with like 25-ish episodes a season. So it's going to take a while.
Yeah, I'm struggling because... Netflix has always been my go-to, and The Office isn't on it anymore, so...
Are you going to become a Peacock subscriber,
no,
Daniel?
No, they're not going to get me, but... well, maybe eventually, but I've got some time, I think, in me before that. But anyways, you know, that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about... Sounds like we're trying to talk about every show other than Star Trek, but let's talk about the season finale of Season 3 of Star Trek Discovery, The Hope That Is You, Part 2.
You know, the hope is you.
The hope that is you, or just the hope that
there's
is
no sec.
You.
There's no second that.
The hope is you. Gotcha. Okay.
No, that hope is you.
Oh my goodness! I'm not doing this right.
No, it's not your fault. It's weird. It's not like it's like half a sentence. It's not a full sentence. They need a second comma. It needs to Shatner. It needs to be that hope is you part two. We need more commas.
I didn't remember where that line came from until this episode, because the guy shows up from that one.
Oh, yeah.
The first episode.
Starbase guy.
Starbase guy shows up for like half
seconds.
A second.
Yeah.
I think so. I liked him, though, because both times he shows up, I got emotional. I felt...
Well, yeah, it was awesome. He showed up, and Admiral Vance made him captain of the Discovery after all of his long years of service.
Let's not start with that, Darren. Let's not start with that.
I did like...
I blanked out at that moment. Is that what happened?
No. I did like he got lieutenant rank. He didn't get, like, a high rank, right? He didn't get, like, ensign. I mean, he's not Kim. Harry Kim. But,
that's
like,
true.
You know,
everyone's a lieutenant, so that's not bad.
Yeah, so there's actually a lot to unpack here, although this definitely feels, I will say, right off the bat, it feels less dense than both the previous season cliffhangers that that Discovery's done.
Isn't this the show finale? Isn't it done? Because it sure kind of felt like it at the end.
That's what it did in a way, didn't it?
When it ended, my wife Jessica was like, is it over? Is that? No. There's another. She's like, well, it seemed like they were just done.
It did kind of feel done. Like, it felt like we're not sure if we're getting renewed next year done. Like, it's not like it's closed, but I mean, obviously, we know they're shooting season four right now, but it did have that vibe. It was kind
of
weird.
Yeah, because in terms of tone, it definitely felt like, let's rush to close every plot line we possibly can.
There was no cliffhanger.
Yeah, there was
everything got wrapped up.
There's no sense of like what's coming in the future, and you know, there's no Enterprise showing up at the last 10 seconds of the episode or whatever. And it's like, I'm like, and everybody's happy, kind of. And I'm like, yeah, this is weird. Like, I don't know what's happening. I have no idea what's going to come next.
No one's ever happy at the end of Discovery.
I'm confused because we don't normally see that, but yeah. There's even though it was less dense than what we've seen in years past, there's still a lot to unpack here. So where do you guys want to start? You guys want to do it chronologically, or should we do? We'll probably do it by storyline.
I mean, maybe Emerald Chain, start with that, because it kind of is the plot that gets revealed, or it feels like that one gets sewn up quickly. You know, I know we cut back and forth to it, but like once it's done, it's like you're good.
I mean, this is my take, and of course, I don't like Discovery, so take it for what it's worth. But, like, I feel like the story was fine. You know, action, there's beginning, there's an end. If you wanted anything more than that, then that's my question. So, like, for instance, for the Admiral Chain, it was like, at the end, she kind of gets killed pretty quickly. I mean, I get there's like, oh, Michael's on the computer, and then shoots her in the forehead, and then she's down. I was like, well, okay. I mean, I was expecting maybe a little bit something more than that, but whatever. But at the end, it's like, and with Osira dead, the Emerald Chain just fell apart. I'm like,
yeah,
really?
What?
I just feel like they really rushed that in. I mean, it was like, that whole ending. I mean, when I was watching the episode, and I'll shut up here, but when I was watching the episode, like, there was a lot of action scenes, a lot of action, which is, you know, if you like action, great. But I'm like, thinking they're going really slow, like, I don't need this action scene. Like, you could cut this out and add more story. And so, like, at the end, when they were, to me, in my opinion, rushing the ending, I'm like, you could have made these ending a little bit pacier and longer and really felt the emotion, unless it's just like...
Look, it's not their fault. Turbolift technology doesn't work like we expect it to, actually takes 25 minutes to get somewhere.
Darren just keeps just jumping into really big topics. So let's talk about the turbolift scene, because...
Isn't this a director's trademark? I feel like it's always the episodes this director does.
Let me do this director. Here we go.
No, not just the flipping. That's a whole nother thing. But yeah, I've heard people try to justify it where they show like a schematic and there's like a giant like open space, and I'm like, yeah, but you know, your turbolift system, I mean, no wonder everyone beams everywhere if your turbolift system takes 30 minutes to get somewhere because it's got a loop-de-loop through the water park in the middle of your, you know.
And by the way, there's no justifying it. That whole scene was dreamed up with nobody thinking about the spatial dimensions inside of Discovery, because it's absolutely ridiculous. If you thought the Budweiser factory being the engine room of the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
In Star Trek 2009, this is like that times 100.
Well,
how crazy!
I mean, doesn't it make it this part 2 of Die Hard, because, you know, last episode she was fighting in the corridors with no shoes, and this time it's the whole hopping on top of the elevator while the bad guys are there. You know, it's Die Hard.
I don't care about the interior. I mean, I know that's a thing. But, like, when they refit the Discovery in this time, in this future time, like, they did everything. Like, because, in other words, in the 23rd century, those would be tubes. Like, there's no way they were just free-floating turbo lift elevators in the 23rd century.
Creating the gravimetric corridor momentarily as it passes through it is what it kind of looked like.
Yeah. So it's like they did – I mean, like, it's one of those things of, like, going from the joke we'll always make from the Enterprise to the refit Enterprise in motion picture. Like, it's just a different ship. Like, they went all the way inside Discovery and scooped out, like, a jack-o'-lantern.
When you slowly change every piece of Discovery, when does it not become Discovery? And it's now
the same,
a whole nother ship.
But they must have really refit that thing to take off the turbo lift shafts and then put in the self-sustaining shield. Because, like, there was, like, a force field. I didn't know what they were doing when it passed through the portals or something. But,
I don't know.
That's what it looked like. It looked like it was generating a gravimetric field between each of those rings. Okay. But it's like a maglev system. But again,
I mean, this is the 31st century. They could just scoot along by themselves. Also, everybody has personal transporters. Like you said, either use the personal transporters or put a personal transporter inside the turbo.
Yeah.
Lift.
Maybe need a turbo.
And then
lift.
You just
point.
Beam to. Yeah. Why? I don't.
That's true.
Whatever.
Maybe that's why. Maybe turbo lifts are backwards, archaic technologies that nobody uses anymore. So they've become so befuddled and confusing. Because, well, you know, I'm not worried about the turbo lifts, guys. I think Geordi LaForge is spinning in his grave. Because apparently we don't use guide rails or any sort of system like that when ejecting the warp core. It kind of just scrapes along.
I know.
What was that?
And again, I go back and forth in my mind, in my headcanon of, like, what's...
I mean, big picture, not a big deal. I was just like, what am I watching?
Wait a minute. First of all, big picture, not a big deal. When you have 3 seconds to eject the warp core and it gets jammed in the tube because somebody didn't do the measurements right, that is big picture, a very big deal.
At least, and it also felt like it was more centralized. Like, it took a while to get out of the ship. Like, I don't know if they accounted for those 10 seconds to get to the outer hole. And, you know, in Geordi's day, like, he built his warp core right up against that hole. It was right there. You open the door, it's gone.
But I couldn't tell if that was the 23rd century ejection system or the future one. Because also the future one, it would probably just transport. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But the 23rd, like, yeah, like, just banking the shot. And, like, do they have, like, an extra long snake in case it gets stuck in there?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Although I did, I mean, to keep talking about engineering, I did like the pylon scene. Like, that was a cool idea. Like, destroy
you always want to
thing, and it
kind of
and it decouples the thing. Although I don't think, was she in the nacelle?
Okay, so yes, I didn't understand this scene. First of all, okay, what happened? So they are removing the oxygen from the lower decks of Discovery, right?
Right, right.
Is there some reason given that she can breathe longer than other people? I didn't remember that.
They established that she's basically, her people are like free divers and they do stuff like that. So they,
that's fine.
They did establish it. They didn't just...
And they hold their breath. Two things I know.
And free divers, okay.
Sorry, I'm not saying your name right.
That's totally fine. Because I do kind of remember that, but I watched
it in
two chunks.
Abalone, it's, you know, the tourists really like it, so they have to, everyone has to pitch in.
Okay, so she is given the bomb to separate the nacelle.
Right.
Which she then goes to the nacelle, but it doesn't separate it. It just...
Well, it decouples the programmable matter on the end, like, and it kind of, I'll have to look at it again, but I don't think she got in the nacelle. One, I don't
see
how. How?
It's
not attached to the ship. It's not attached to the ship. I thought she was climbing into the field generator that was generating the connection, whatever magic that holds the nacelle 20 feet away.
Yeah,
that's what I thought she was in, because there's literally no way for her to crawl into the nacelle when it's not attached.
In my mind, I thought, and you're, I think you're right, Darren, but in my mind, I was imagining, you know, there's, you have the, people can't see this, I'm my two hands up. Those are the nacelles, and in the middle, I assume there's a generated field. And I thought that's what they were trying to disrupt. But I think you're probably...
That's what I thought they were, too.
But then I think I would be better of the they're disrupting the detached nacelle or something here.
Yeah, I thought that that's the thing.
That's what happened as a result.
That I thought they were trying to do.
Boom, okay. Then... So Memory Alpha says she arrives at the nacelle access point.
Okay, that's what I thought. So... Because although I did like the fact it did kind of have a similar vibe to the times we've been in, like, the Enterprise's nacelles, like in the one where that guy kills himself and jumps into it. Like, it had a similar feel. So, yeah, I don't ever get the feeling that she was in the nacelle, but I don't know.
But I don't know
what the inside of the nacelle is supposed to be.
But that little robot, I mean, we see her there. And then the thing explodes, and the little robot drags her out?
With its little T-Rex arms.
I guess I just don't understand. Like,
you know. Well, one thing I was thinking, and I know this isn't main engineering, but when I was watching, it looked like you could tell, like, the carpet separate, whatever it is, the deck separation. And I'm like, shouldn't that be a door that comes down, Geordi style, that you could just barrel roll, you know, away from? Like a safety door, but I'm like, instead it's just like, it blows up. Oh, well, you got to have a little robot drag you away. But then, like, they would have really had to drag her away, because I feel like the distance from where everyone passed out to where she was wasn't, like, 3 feet. Like, so that robot would have been like...
Well, I get the feeling that they were... I got the feeling that they were close, but they all agreed collectively, we all can't make it. Let's just stop wasting the O2. Give the remaining... canister to her, and she'll go the last two corridors or something. But I okay,
she woke up where everyone was.
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, they established the dots can't do it because they'll get wiped by, like, the MP or something, because they're the sphere data, so that's bad. But they still did it and pulled her out and still got zapped, but still got repaired. So it's like there's no consequence at all.
Well, one thing
any of that.
And maybe, you know, as an episode, you know, do you spell it out? Do you not spell it out? That's always an argument. But when the robot, whatever, died, hand quote, died, I was like, oh.
D23.
Yeah, as much as I care, is that the end of the sphere data? But I think maybe it would have been better for those who care if they had established, you know, because you see in the firefight that some of the robots are getting killed. If they'd been like, oh, there's only one left.
Yeah.
And they kind of raised the stakes a little bit. You know, again, I don't care. But if they raised the stakes a little bit, like, there's only one left, that's the sphere data.
I thought.
And then when it died, oh, well, sphere data's dead. But
yeah.
They brought it back, you know, but they didn't, and whatever.
That's what I was kind of trying to decide. Like, I first thought when the three dots showed up that those three dots were the sphere data.
And they were. Yeah.
But it was never, I guess, fully established because, no, I mean, like, only those three. Because, like you said, then they're in the firefight and, like, dots are dying left and right. And I'm like, okay, so is there some chart somewhere showing sphere data down to 50%, sphere data down to 45%? Like, is that what's happening? It's like, you just lost the late 23rd century. It's gone. You know? I mean, that's what I'm expecting. Like, every time a dot's
there's
getting shot, like,
left.
The data, it's like the burning of the it's the burning of the Library of Alexandria as it all slowly gets whittled down. But again, they never established any of that. So I don't know if it was all collectively or just the one.
Yeah, we don't know. There's plenty in the episode that to me, I should say, wasn't clear. And it just felt like it was pushing it. Push. I want to jump back real quick to Michael versus Osira in the computer core room.
Right.
Which I don't know why we went into the computer core. And you know,
I think
things?
It was the only place she could reset the system and then turn everything and then get control of the ship again.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. I But
because that was the 1-2 punch, she was going to go there and reset it, and they were going to go destabilize it to get them knocked out of warp. Okay. So they each had their mission.
But I don't know what
the computer core is.
When she opened up the turbo lift doors and walked in, I'm like, oh, she got transported to the Kelvin universe. That was pretty cool. So
yeah, it did have a Kelvin view. But well, I'm assuming it's just. It's the computer core. It's where the programmable matter lives, and I mean, obviously, heck, when she reset it, it was like full access granted, and she's just like, do this, do this, do this, and like four sentences, the episode was done. We're like, yeah. Okay,
beam all the bad guys away, re-energize. My problem is,
beam the bad guys away, done. It's the computer's like done. It's like disengage warp drive, done. It's like lower our shields, done. And it's like bring me a Sunday, done. It's like make me a captain, done. It's just
I understand functionally what that room does, but I don't understand what the thing she fought through. Why was she getting sucked into the wall? I don't understand what was going on there. Why was this?
It looked like programmable matter, and
the thing you put your handprint on. That's a
yes, but it doesn't suck you in.
Yeah, I don't.
What? In fact, you have to put pressure on it for that to happen.
Well, one thing I thought about.
I mean, you'd think that the Federation would have some sort of safety rail because that seems really dangerous. If like that's possible, you can get sucked into the programmable matter. Or whatever that is.
Yeah, I would just also think Osira would
It's the plot
know.
Needed it to be there, Daniel.
But I just thought Osira would know that was what would happen. Like, I could get that we as an audience don't know because we're not familiar with programmable matter. Michael doesn't know, so she's scared when she's going into the T2 or whatever it's called, T-1000. But then when she comes, like, Osira should know when you smush someone into programmable matter, they can just come out. It's... If they can hold
they don't
breath.
Necessarily
but it just
die.
Sits, that's what I just don't understand. Like, why would you have it just be a part of the wall? Like, is every wall like that? Can you push everybody through any wall that you want? Why is it specifically
if
that
it's a
wall?
Programmable matter wall, I could see it being like, computer, I need access to such and such, and then it programs that wall, and now it's like a interface port, but when it's in its flux state, it's deadly.
You would think that there would be some sort of a safety feature where
that's what I'm
you
saying.
Can't push your fingers through it, or
but it was on the Orion computer system, okay. And they don't have any safety features. So until she reset it to Federation standard,
oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Federation OS.
Then if she walked by, it'd be like, you didn't
default.
Say the magic word.
Yeah,
factory default.
Which, by the way,
so they knock.
Daniel, from a computer aspect, I don't know if you had this twinge. Again, it doesn't matter, but I'm pointing this out because I knew this would tweak you. So when she reset it, it resets presumably back to 23rd century OS. But they're working,
that's what they said.
But, she specifically said that, yeah.
But they're working with 31st century hardware.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows, man? They don't care. They don't think about it.
They're like, where are the Deuteronic circuits? Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. The computer would have been like, what is this strange wall made of? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. It's crazy. But I guess they have sphere data, so that solves 95%
they're like,
of the problem.
Computer, what day is it? It's January 1st, 1969, or whatever date it like randomly assigns everything when it restarts.
Yeah, they have the Y3.
They had to reset their clocks. Y3K.
Somebody should edit in that scene right when all the lights turn off, the Windows rebooting sound.
Yeah, everyone knows that this computer that I have now that I bought last year, if I put Windows 95 on it, it'll run fine. It's not going to have any problems.
So they get knocked out of warp. Michael reboots the computer. And the day is saved. Oh, and the day is not saved because she ejects the warp core inside that big ship.
Right.
Then kills all the people and then it's saved. They're okay.
Yeah. But guys, did they survive? I mean, I was on the edge of my seat because that's the way they shot
well,
it.
Well, here's the question, Darren. How did they survive? How did they, without a warp drive, how did they get away from the warp core explosion?
Oh, well, I mean, this ship fortunately has a spore drive, and it can, zip away, fly away.
Stamets isn't on board, Darren. I don't think you understand. We've been told. We have been
the whole two episodes.
For a very long time.
Those are more like guidelines.
We have been for a very long time. Certainly nobody that just walks in the room can just walk in the room. You have to have a deep connection.
No, he walked in the room, but his forehead glowed, Daniel.
Okay, so Booker can apparently... Not Booker.
I mean, technically we didn't see him do it, but I mean, they're alive, so I guess they did? I don't know.
So I thought, okay, when they started to build towards this, I'm like, what is going on? And then I thought, oh, he's going to have to do his little prayer thing with a tardigrade. That's what I thought they were going to do.
That's interesting.
But we don't got time for that, Daniel. We got like 5 minutes left in the episode.
There's no time. Literally no time. So because Book is empathetic.
To mushrooms. Tell,
he has an empath.
Yeah.
He's an empath to the network.
To him, yes.
So he doesn't need the tardigrade DNA. He just needs to empathically connect through the cube.
But something he's never done before.
He tells the mushrooms what to do. Everyone knows... Mushroom, which I don't know, what do we classify? Fungi, I know, but like what vegetable? I don't know. It's just the same as mammals, as animals. Like there's no difference between Dr. Doolittling a dog.
That's true. I mean, they did establish that he was able to trance with like the trance worms and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not a gigantic leap. It's still
a leap.
It's a leap. It's a leap.
I argue that animal to plant. Gigantic leap.
I mean, you know, because can he also do minerals?
It also makes the entire thing about Discovery, the whole like premise now that this spore drive can only be used. There's no point in mass producing it because only Stamets can do it. Well, it turns out all of Booker's buddies can do it now too, right? Everybody that can, maybe even...
Which is good, because Stamets really hates Michael now, so, you know, I'm glad we have a way to spore jump without
I will say
him.
I was glad to see him still upset. I was happy to be like, yeah, like, she was a jerk, she pushed him on an airlock, like, I hope he doesn't like her. It's good.
One thing I'm glad they did, because I was, like, gonna yell as I was already yelling. But anyway, I was gonna yell even more. during the Booker torture scene, which, you know, we don't always need a torture scene. But anyway, whereas, like, okay, Michael, you either have to choose between, you know, saving the Federation or your boyfriend or, you know, whatever. And I was like, look, Michael, you just let Stamets kick him off the ship when he's trying to help his boyfriend. But when it comes to your boyfriend, I will flip this TV over if you're like, no. But then she had a plan and she escaped. But I was worried. I was like, she's like, no, stop. I'll tell you everything. Just don't. I'm like, you just kicked Stamets off the ship for that. But it was fine.
Yeah. No, I mean, she had a good plan and to get out and they did. But this is what I wish had happened with the Emerald Chain, because it was very like, okay, we cut off the head and it all dies, I guess. But honestly, it was way more interesting if the Federation had to join with them. Like, tell me that story. Tell me, like, you know, not. And then it becomes then season four becomes now. You could still kill Osira, they sign the treaty. And then she double crosses, but you still have a signed treaty that the Emerald Chain, they just have a new leader now, you know.
Or they killed the entire command staff here. You give control to the
people or something.
No, the guy, the scientist dude.
Oh,
Ken Mitchell.
And he didn't really seem like, you know, leadership quality type.
Well, but not to like the Emerald Chain, but he could have. You could see
maybe an ambassador, something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. I don't care.
But that would have been really interesting in season four then to see, like, okay, so now we have access to get – we still have the mission of discovery of contacting and shipping dilithium and all this stuff. But now we still have to work with the Emerald Chain. And, like, what is that – you know, what – is there a way to make a compromise? But instead, it's like, nope, we don't have to deal with that. And it's
so, Darren,
we can still be the crappy version of the Federation we want to be.
What you're pitching me is that you have this Federation ship that's far flung from its home. You have the Federation and the sort of pirate criminal group that have to combine and get along. Maybe they make one of their people, I don't know, the first officer, right? That's, I'm just spending, pitching stuff here. And then the two crews have to work together. And then, you know, when Chakotay, I mean, I don't know, who's your character called that?
He's saying it's Voyager.
So,
that's what he's saying.
I'm like, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm thinking.
He's saying it's Voyager.
But it's going to be a Starfleet crew.
I think there's an interesting thing there because then you could introduce, it doesn't have to be a high level character.
Yeah.
But you could be a low level.
No, but you have a chain representative, yes, that's on the ship because they're part of the Federation.
And if you get, well, and even if it's just a.
They're like, hey, we're bringing some dilithium to help this planet, and they're like, but we're charging them, right? And they're like, well, maybe, I don't know, this is different, you know,
because it's almost, and I don't mean directly, but it's almost like a Neelix like character where it's a representative who knows stuff because, you know, no one else does on that crew. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. They don't know that time and that location,
right, that era.
Yeah. And so, and because as we've said previously in the season, these far-flung, or like what Osiris was saying, you know, Deep Space 12 or whatever the heck it was, you know, has been working. And all these places that the Federation hasn't talked to, that a Federation places, have maybe been interacting with the chain. But, yeah.
I mean, that's the main thing I was disappointed in, is that Osira was a really interesting bad guy. It was on the cusp of becoming a really interesting bad guy. Like, because she wasn't just black and white of like, I'm the bad guy, and I kill everybody, and I do what I want, and, you know, what we expect. But instead, like, honestly, that was really interesting when she's talking to Vance, and she's like, okay, she's got some... I still don't know what her plan was, if they had signed it.
Well,
that's
my question of when I was watching it, because, again, I thought it was a bit of a left turn when she started doing, like, she's serious about this treaty stuff, but whatever, we want to be complex. But then, you know, she had to know, either they'll say yes... or they'll say no. So if they say no...
So what do you do when they say no?
Kill everyone? Was that was the plan? That was plan B? I mean...
I think there... Was her plan not just to take Discovery? I think that was like...
So was her plan... But they were building it up like her plan was to do this treaty. Like...
When they were leaving...
Are they saying she was talking to Vance just to buy time so they could leave?
No.
Then why did they go into the...
Yeah.
I think she was hoping for them to come to terms.
Okay.
But it became clear that they weren't going to. So they were leaving. They left. They left the star base, whatever. And they were just trying to get away, I think. Right?
Right.
There was no... Like, the only reason, the ticking time clock aspect... of their escape was that they were running out of air. It's like, it's not like she was going to blow something up or something. She was just trying to get away.
Well, yeah, and then she wanted to like detonate some sort of canister that was going to kill everybody and, you know, genocide and all this.
I didn't necessarily get the... Like, I felt like Osari could have bargained a little bit more because it seemed like the plan was, you know, kind of a scorched earth, you know, we're going to die, but we'll kill everyone else. And Michael's like, no. I'll get him to, you know, just we'll let him. Okay. The second part of the deal Osiris should said is don't chase me, because I feel like once, like, we let go, but they're chasing you, like, you really haven't gotten let go, have you? So
also, like, did we pump, like, the best of the best of the best technology into Discovery? Because the Federation fleet, like, couldn't destroy it.
It does nothing.
Like there was, like, a dozen. I mean, granted, like, they don't want to out and out destroy it. But still, like, I'm like, come on. Like, you're telling me this one Federation ship up against, you know, eight other Federation ships, and that ship's going to be fine?
They definitely should have had the codes to their shields.
I was about to say, we should have Star Trek 2'd it. Yeah. Osira, I'm sending them surrender messages.
Our shields are down!
Now.
What? Raise them!
I can't!
Or, heck, just... programmable matter it where he's standing there and he programmable matter reaches a finger out and hits a button on the console and just turns off the shields. I don't know.
So here's the thing. Let's move on. I'm sure we'll circle back and talk about a lot of this stuff, but we're missing the other half of the episode.
Planet.
Which is with Planet, which they just keep... I hate
Nebula.
They keep calling it the Planet. Just make up a name, man. Just anyways. Planet Dilithium. That's what
Planet Dilithium.
Because it's completely made up of dilithium, so that
we're going to strip of its natural resources.
We can solve the universe.
Don't care if anyone lives here. We're just going to.
Which I.
We
anyways,
need it.
I had to.
So Sue called.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, nope. I get that it's episode and it's a story, but I'm like, this is the exact moment the ship was falling apart. It's been there like 120 years, but today is... I get it. But I just had to laugh to myself.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, that was... So anyway, Sukal. That's his name, right?
Sukal? Yep. Okay. The Burnmeister.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. Oh, God.
Okay, hang on. Before we even... So it's Culber.
Yeah.
Stamets.
And Stamets. And no, not Stamets. Culber,
sorry,
Adira,
and
Saru.
Yeah, cosplay.
Yeah,
and also Gray. Now I don't remember the nonsense, ridiculous explanation. Yeah. Can somebody remind me of the nonsense, ridiculous explanation?
The hollow,
the hologram.
Yeah,
the hologram recognized him, and
okay,
thus
so just go.
That's
with
all
it.
She said.
Just go with it.
Is it recognized him okay. That he was there? In a way, and so
well, because I mean, we really don't have never explained why Gray is present. I mean, right?
That's
we've
true.
Never explained that
because normally with Trill, you don't have that.
So we don't know the okay. answer there.
I don't know.
Okay,
it's at the end of the day, it's because the writers wanted it.
Listen, if they don't care,
but yes,
I don't
yeah.
care.
No, it's fine. No.
I'm not gonna care.
I mean, it's not like he saved the day. He looked out the window for a moment and had a moment of hugs. Yeah. Like that's literally all we got out of that.
I liked it, and he was still there He was still there at the end. You know, like, and again, I'm not making fun of it, but like. You know, but
I am.
Oh no,
I'm
we should. You know what we should have? We should have doubled down.
For the record, I'm no. making fun.
Well,
of
I was just going to say,
it's stupid and it's ridiculous.
The whole dilemma was like, when we do this, you'll disappear. Which you know, that's heartfelt. They didn't really make a meal out of it. But then,
suck it up, Moriarty.
But in the last
we all know.
5 seconds, oh, he's still there. I mean, like the bigger thing would have been like, oh, he's gone, and then next episode season premiere, he comes back somehow. But it's just like,
see,
oh, he's gone.
I think they should have doubled down, and Discovery should have been like, we're detecting 5 life signs. What? And they like, beam him into existence.
Well, you could easily push that mystery to next season.
Yeah,
right? And you could write that into, that'd be fine. I would still think it was silly, but at least I would at least be like,
although,
oh, they're not.
Does this mean that Adira can go to a holodeck and Gray will appear? I mean, it's the same technology. It's newer technology.
Did they put holodecks in Discovery? We haven't played.
We don't know.
We have, but I'm just saying, like, literally all that happened was she went on a holodeck and the holodeck was like, I sense 2 people.
And by the way,
and
this holodeck's 120 years old. So it's
yeah, that's
like
what I'm saying. We have newer tech. We all know the holodecks are busted. Nothing works like it should in a holodeck ever.
And another leap, whatever. Again, I know, story. But like when Culber's like, Gray? I'm like, how do you know what Gray looks like? You should have been like, who the hell is this
and
person?
And he didn't even look like Gray. He's a Vulcan. Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously he knew that the thing was changing him, but like, yeah.
Yeah, anyways,
also,
whatever.
I didn't realize when Culber had also signed the adoption certificate. I know Stamets has sort of...
Joint custody in Adira.
But
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay,
yeah,
they're
really pushing for this like familial relationship,
which is fine. But I felt like it's kind of gone a little fast. Like we the audience has kind of looked at it like, oh, you know, Stamets is playing this sort of fatherly role or what parental role. But then it's kind of like, was it last episode or Sue was like, I have a kid too.
Yeah,
and I was
yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean,
okay. I will say,
but you know,
I did. This is what. I think should have happened. I was okay and liked the way they revealed about the moment of the burn in this episode. It felt
I knew what it was.
It felt I mean not that I was surprised of what it was, but like the way they revealed that like, you know, it was him stumbling in there and seeing his mom and it's like of course, like you just saw your mom die. I wish that we had that moment of realization in this episode, and I feel it was mishandled that we kind of saw that and made that connection last episode. Like, I feel that
when he gets upset, something happens, and we're like, well, what could have possibly had him upset, the guy whose parents died?
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying, is it was this, we got the same information in both episodes, but I think if we had not had it in last episode and had it in this one only, I think it would have been much stronger.
I think the, it's not a problem, but the challenge, the implications, this guy has killed a billion people. Like, and I, look, I know it's not his fault. It's not his fault, but like, it, he's gonna have trouble either from other people or from himself or both. Like, he needs to be on suicide.
I mean, I'm assuming they're stating that because he's not on the planet Dilithium, that he, it can't happen again.
And I get that, but it happens.
Because honestly, I was almost expecting, like, when he was almost doing it again, and I'm like, is shooting him an option? Because, I mean, granted, he didn't do it on purpose, but, I mean, we know what's going to happen if this happens again, and it's not good. Like, it's the, is it what, the trolley problem, you know?
You're right.
I'm just saying, we didn't go there, but I'm just like, you know.
I did think that the whole time. I was thinking we could just kill him.
One character should have brought it up. Like, you know, a little conflict. One character should have been like, yeah, I don't want to, but like,
I mean, obviously Saru wouldn't want to do that, but it's like,
I think Adira probably
but
would be
the
best.
We know if he flips out again while we're here.
So let's, because they do actually go into it and try to explain it and fail completely in my eyes, but they try to explain it. This kid has some sort of genetic peculiarity where he's
part Dilithium.
Absorbs or can his DNA somehow interacts with
radiation
his environment
and
in some manner or whatever.
Which bonus, he doesn't if he's not affected by the radiation that everyone else is affected by.
Okay.
Bad downside, he causes the burn when he yells.
Well, that's the first thing. The second thing is that Dilithium, which his DNA somehow interacts with, has a subspace component, is what
which
they say.
Which kind of also makes sense because dilithium is used in warp travel. So,
but subspace and warp are different things.
Warp is going into subspace.
I
understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if it worked for me just because it wasn't hard for me to make the leap of, we use dilithium in our warp core. Check the technical manual, Philip, please. But it made sense.
Warp?
It's like, okay, if dilithium resonates at some sort of thing that has to do with subspace, then it kind of makes sense that it's part of the equation of a warp drive. Like, that made sense to me. Like, I was okay with that. I mean, yeah, it's new information we've never heard before, but it fit. But that's what they were basically saying is he did some sort of sound wave that was amplified by planet dilithium and went through subspace. And I mean, they're basically trying to explain the burn, but
it was literally him screaming because his mother was killed.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's just dumb. It's just like, here's the thing. Like, I get it. Whatever. They want to raise the stakes, I guess. Millions of people.
Billions.
In the Star Trek universe, probably trillions of sentient creatures have experienced the death of their mother, and probably probably trillions have this genetic deformity, and maybe even a zillion have been near dilithium. This has never happened. This is something.
I think they were establishing that when they crashed on the ship, and he was born there, that being like gestated and born on that planet is what caused the genetic irregularity. Not that he just happened to be one with this D, you know, for dilithium chromosome, and thus,
I guess the question that Daniel's posing is this the only dilithium planet in all the galaxies ever, 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 ever? And if the answer is no, nobody else was ever born on a dilithium planet.
It doesn't even matter, because even if, whatever, I'll grant you a lot of this stuff. You have to grant a lot of things to get to anywhere.
Which is whatever.
But let's just say I grant a lot of this stuff. We see it. It's a thing. It's a physical thing that erupts from this place and goes out physically. And it's not something. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just not something that could possibly happen. Whatever. I guess a kid was sad and all the warp drives blew up. That's right. I guess that's just what Star Trek is now.
The lesson
but
is
it's just dumb. And it's and what's frustrating is what's the point? What was the point of all this? Why did we do it? Why did we like destroy the Federation or bring it to the brink of destruction? This story isn't interesting or compelling, or it's just what is.
To show
just,
how the Federation deals with a scarcity world?
I guess. I mean, I would argue that.
I don't know.
There's this. All right. I'm going to put my tone on it, and I know that tone's not needed. It's because there's a lot of people who want Star Trek to be a different show, who don't want the utopia, who want a struggle, who want the conflict. And so if we take away the Federation, so suddenly you have to work on it. And that's like a Deep Space Nine thing. And again, I'm not – if that's your point of view, there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, that's not my usual things. But that's a lot of people want to create that Star Trek that's not utopia.
Well, and Deep Space Nine had the best episodes of like
– Paradise Lost.
What was it? And, yeah, Paradise Lost is exactly what I was thinking of. It's like those moments where they went to the line but then came back.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just two episodes. It wasn't a season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not, and it's like, here's the thing too. Like we wrap this thing up so quick. Like, oh, it just so happens that this planet is full of dilithium. Now we can just go fill all the other ships with dilithium. Everything's fine.
And we have a ship that can go anywhere. So,
yeah. Well, and here's the thing. And that's another thing that really bothered me. I've never seen a show like a conclusion where they cut the conclusion out at its knees by the fact that to reach the conclusion, like the Booker thing means Discovery is also no longer unique. You can definitely have a whole bunch of
people. You can replicate it.
You can now replicate it, meaning there's no point in dilithium. There's no point in warp drive anymore. In fact, it's completely outdated. But they don't address that at all, of course. But now we do have enough dilithium for the whole universe. So we're just going to give it away to everybody.
My largest thought about this storyline, and in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it. But you know, my hope is always that the Star Trek storyline has an analogy.
It's in you, Philip.
Well, it has an analogy. And so, like, this whole thing that we spend...
metaphor!
Yeah. That we spend a whole long time doing is with the character of, like, having to face his fear. But I'm like... I mean, that's just, like, one character. Like, I don't... How does that have any meaning? Like, other than in and of itself. But, I mean, like... There's no application to the larger world of, like, you know, we all have to face our fears. It's just this character is an underdeveloped, and I don't mean that in a bad way, underdeveloped person who's like a child and has to face. But I'm like, there's no application to a larger theme of life that we almost, you know, anything. You just pick anything. But so it's just like, we spend all this time like, oh, no, I know you're going to be scared. We'll be here. I know you're going to be scared. I know. And like, we spend like 30, 40, well, it's not that long, but like 20 minutes. I'm like, I know it's scary. We'll be here. We're scared. And then it's like, you face it. And then we're
The thing didn't really challenge him. It just opened the door and he had to just walk through. I mean, obviously, I think what took me a while to notice is he wasn't really afraid of the monster. He was afraid of what was beyond the door of outside of his dead mom.
Well, there was all those dead bodies there. Yeah, I mean,
but I don't know.
And it's weird too. Like, why does Saru need to go with him? Like at all?
Well, species connection.
And it's like, okay, so now Saru's gone. I mean, honestly, if they didn't tell me that Doug Jones was shooting season 4, I would expect him to be gone forever, because they kind of wrapped that up. But let's talk about the other left turn that came out of nowhere. So Cleveland Booker's not his name.
No, they've mentioned
it's
that
his
before.
Mentor's.
They mentioned that before.
Oh, they had?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
I had forgotten.
It was, I don't know if it was episode 1, 2, or 3, where Michael is talking to someone else in, like, Cleveland Booker. Well, there's a story there because, I don't know, she just knows that's...
kind of a name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's his mentor, and I'm like, are we going to learn... I was honestly expecting him to be like, I'm not actually Cleveland Booker. I am Khan or something. I was expecting some name drop.
I actually thought
to
he was
going to
die at
that.
The end.
I
tell you the truth, and I don't know what part. I think maybe during the Black Alert, because, you know, I don't know if this character's on for another season.
Yeah, that's true. If he could actually pull it off.
I'll tell you the story sometime, and then, like, he dies, and then you don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of building up to that.
Yeah, it was. I like him.
But
I think I like him, yeah. Like, I don't have any problems with him or anything like that. I just don't know what his purpose is. Well, now we know what his purpose is.
I don't know what Stamets' purpose is anymore.
Well, I'm assuming they're trying to set it up as that was his moment to prove himself, you know.
So now he gets to be an ensign.
Well, he was not wearing a Starfleet uniform at the end, if you noticed, which I thought he might. He might, but he wasn't. Still civilian.
So, okay, so here's the thing, and this is going to, I think, will probably take till the end of the show. We talked about Saru. You mentioned, Darren, that Saru leaves, and...
which I knew was coming as soon as there was a Kelpian child.
600
that,
days
of course, he's going to connect with him and not leave him.
We find out, for the last 10 minutes of the episode, that Michael Burnham is now captain of the Discovery. I'm going to tell you, you know,
Starfleet's first mutineer.
Yes, first mutineer, and you get to be captain. Okay. I think.
I mean, I almost want to rewatch like episode 2 and 3 of this season, where she's like so unsure if she even wants to be in Starfleet, and is like practically ready to leave with Booker.
Do you remember early on we thought that she? Like, it was almost suggested that she might be leaving the show, or at least stepping back, and, like, she'd just go and do whatever and be, like, a consultant or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But no, because only Michael can be the Hope. She is now captain of the ship. So how do you guys feel about that?
I mean, by and large, I don't care. I mean, because I think...
I mean, I'm not surprised.
Well, in some ways, I'm a little glad, because what we've often had for Michael's character... With her not being the captain.
That's true.
The story.
I remember you talking about that.
Kind of pushes to her, and she's always doing, like, I don't play by the rules.
Right.
Here's my badge and gun. You're off the case, McCluskey.
Yeah, look at everything she did in the last 3 seasons. But imagine if she had been the captain. Like, it would have just been so much smoother because she's the captain, so she can make those calls. It was only hard because she wasn't the captain.
And so she could play. I can't think of the word I'm looking for. But anyway, you know, go against everything.
Oh, I just realized Jojo didn't get to see that she became captain. Oh, and be proud of her.
No.
But now she has sort of the accountability, so which is fine. I mean,
true.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the main character. Well,
I'm more interested in if Tilly's going to be first officer, which apparently we're not sure about because they changed her uniform color.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. For those who don't know, apparently she was wearing red. And they post-productioned her blue, so.
But why? Yeah. Like, who would fill that role? I guess
new character.
If they want to put...
she acted great as acting captain. I think she did a great job. Like,
well, except for, remember, we talked about this last week, Darren. She lost the ship in, like, 4 minutes.
You know, anyone would have lost the ship, you know.
They say that, but they were also very surprised at how easy it was.
Yeah, but that's what bad guys say. Get under your skin.
If that's the thing, like, who else could it possibly be? Would be the second officer or the first officer? If they bring Saru back and then just put him in that role, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: they did my boy Saru dirty, and for the sake of Michael. And again, it's just every single time, a lot of the character stuff that pushes Discovery forward is Michael for at the cost of everyone else. And it's just, you set her up. You wrote her in the first episode as the Starfleet's first and only mutineer. And now here we are, where we are now.
It's been, like, a whirlwind 3 seasons. I mean, I'll give it that.
I mean, a lot has happened, for sure. But just 4 episodes ago, Darren, she was getting dressed down. She almost got kicked out of Starfleet. She took Philippa and went on that.
Fired as XO.
Yeah.
She's not showing, like, she didn't show any sort of, like, crazy, like, deserving this recognition. I don't know why the Admiral starts talking to her about how awesome she is, and I'm just like, what?
Like, or he's like, my daughter used shapes to count.
You're much like my 5-year-old daughter, and I'm like, I don't know if that's really the analogy you want to go for.
Like, you did a quick turnaround. Like, I know.
And she's like, you were married? Someone married you? It's like, wait, I'm trying to give you a ship.
What are you trying to say?
Trying to give you a ship. Don't insult me.
It's just, but. Honestly, it's just like, it frustrates me because, you know, they're not going to, they just haven't learned their lesson. I mean, there's the same mistakes over and over. It's season 1, season 2, season 3, and it's just like.
So is the first episode going to be like.
It's just not for me.
She's going to be like, I don't know if I'm fit to be captain. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I can do that.
Oh my god!
And at the end, they're like, "We choose you, Michael."
Well, yeah, because that's Discovery's pattern. Is, you know, we solve a question and answer, and then we have to solve it again in three more episodes because that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also thought the episode ends.
But hey, Strange New Worlds has come in. Yay! It's Pike and awesomeness, and maybe Nan will come back and be the first officer because
she's over there.
She came to the future for some reason that we needed.
Well, one thing
Stamets will
as a writing choice or as a character choice. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. Like when during that last scene, we're at the Admiral, and he's like, you know, I've spoken to Saru, and she's like, yes, yeah. He asked me to be captain, and he's like, yes, and so am I. And she's like, oh. I'm like, so Saru asked you to be captain, and you're like, ha ha, funny joke, Saru. I'm sure you didn't talk to the Admiral. Wait, you want me also? You choose me, Pikachu?
Yeah, so you know, the ending of the episode is actually pretty optimistic.
Yeah,
right. They're talking about going around. They said that Trill has rejoined
the
Federation
and possibly Navarre.
Oh, no.
Possibly Navarre.
Also, I did like, were they going for the pun? The Trill have rejoined.
I didn't think about that, but that's good. That would be
so
good.
Bad.
Uncharacteristically, it's an optimistic note. I wanted to talk about where do you, because we don't know anything else. We know that what we just saw. What do you think they'll do with season?
I have no idea. Like, honestly, they wrapped it up so much. Yeah, like, I mean, I would guess because their overall mission is to kind of reunite far flung. Previously cut off and be like, hey, you know, Federation's still here. Here's a chunk of dilithium so you can actually interact and kind of they're basically rebuilding the freeways, you know, of the country. But I don't know,
Darren, that kind of work sounds really boring.
It's going to be infrastructure.
Well, but I'm assuming that there's
infrastructure.
But I'm assuming there's going to be planets like that don't want it. That, you know, rejoin because they, you know, been on their...
Doesn't that kind of sound too similar to the premise of, like, something like Strange New Worlds, where they go to planet to see what the planet's like, and maybe the planet is friendly, and maybe it's hostile, and maybe it's got killer plants.
But but these planets have baggage in history, Daniel, so it's way more interesting.
If they did... Yeah, okay.
As soon as you said that, Daniel, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess they won't do that. But
maybe we'll go to Kronos. What the happened to Kronos? I need to know.
Or any of the other alien species. Yeah, we don't know.
But I was thinking
we gave you Trillala, and we gave you...
Navarians, formerly known as.
Navarre. So you'd be happy about it.
But I was thinking, and I was talking with Char, a friend of the show, the other week, but like that every series, in some ways, and not in always, in some ways... tries to hit the TOS button, which is not necessarily a complaint. You know, TNG did that. And then Voyager was its whole concept. Okay, guys, how about if it's a whole other quadrant? And then we can, you know, TOS it. Enterprise, we'll do a prequel, and they can TOS. And now Discovery is sort of like, we're on the future now. TOS, and that's not a complaint. I know I'm saying it like that. But, I mean, you can set up, and I know they're not going to because it's Discovery, but you can almost set up traveling the planet, you know, because even though it's a galaxy we already know, quote unquote, it's the future, so we really don't know it. Like, you could even meet new people or you can meet old people, but we don't know what they're like in the 31st century. So whether it's Denovila or Klingons or whoever, it's still new to us and Discovery crew.
Klingons are all monks and super peaceful.
Yeah, maybe,
everyone's like,
know.
What?
They're certainly the time crystal planet is.
Where are the Borg?
Yeah. Oh, see, that's all good. Yeah. So, but, I mean, I know Discovery refuses to be episodic, and that's fine. That's their thing. But, you know, the building the Federation, like, that's what we always wanted with Enterprise. Now we're sort of getting rebuilding the Federation. You know, I'm not saying I'm excited about how they got there, but they're there. And, I mean, that's an interesting, to me, mission, but we'll see what they actually do.
But here's the thing.
Every time, Daniel, new season of Discovery, I'm like, this is the one, guys.
Season one of Discovery was the war season.
Half season.
Season two of Discovery was the red light season.
Pike. Red
now,
Angel,
the Pike season.
Season three of Discovery was, I guess we would call it the burn season.
Right.
So they they always have a MacGuffin, some sort of something that I like the idea of rebuilding the Federation. I think that's cool. I think that would be interesting to watch. I just feel like there's also going to be the ultra virus, the galactic coronavirus, I know, or something like that, where we have to solve it.
The
by
Dominion,
the end of the season.
They're back.
You know, now, of course, like, I say that. Now, I don't trust them to do it well, but if they did a parallel thematic storyline around. Like, I would love to see the Star Trek Corona story, but I don't trust them to do it well. So,
all the dilithium is sick. What do we do? Oh, no. Only Michael has the cure. It's in her blood. Oh, boy.
I mean, the
Thanks,
Federation
Discovery.
Has been socially distancing in this future. So,
look, when you.
That's true. That is a good point.
When, it's like, why is this one planet with spikes coming out of their mouths not wearing their masks? It's like, well, you know, it's like, they can't.
That's funny. All right. Let's just do closing thoughts. Darren, overall, what did you think of both the finale and season 3 of Discovery?
Well, Lower Decks was a great show this season. And I think of it more as like, yeah, people talk about the end of this gap of Star Trek we've been having. And, you know, Lower Decks was great. Picard was enjoyable to see kind of where it's going. I'm looking forward to New Worlds. And, you know, I guess at the end of the day, Discoveries is always the one I'll watch because it's Star Trek, but not necessarily because it's my favorite.
Here's my question for you all. And Phil, sorry to interrupt.
I'm good.
And I'll talk, but here's my question for you all while I talk. Which season of Discovery is your favorite or least not favorite? I'll let you think.
I'd have to remember them so and rewatch them to remember.
I think to me, and just off the cuff, yeah. Season 2 was the most frustrating for me. Season 2, like, and the beginning half of this season, actually for the most part, most of this season was pretty decent. I kind of enjoyed this season, I think, the most. Mm-hmm. The burn stuff is really stupid to me, and I don't like that at all. But, like, the idea of jumping into the future and seeing kind of stuff was interesting. Season 2 was just frustration. Season 2 is Spock Shuttle. That was just...
Spock Shuttle.
That just made me... It just infuriated me. So, the end, you know...
Guys, 5 minutes left of the episode. What do we do? We got to talk about the Spock Shuttle for next week. Otherwise, we won't know where to go.
Okay, I was just curious.
I would say season 1, because I liked... the Klingon stuff wasn't bad. Like, they were trying to do something different and new.
And
their
universe.
Yeah.
It's the other half of the season, Darren. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just letting you know it's half.
No, yeah. That wasn't bad. I think I enjoyed season 1. If there was only one, I think season 1 was pretty good. I love Pike from season 2. And there's other parts that I don't like in season 2, which is why I'm really
Lorca.
Excited.
Lorca in season 1 was awesome, too. But it's just like there was also other things you had to watch.
Yeah, there wasn't and feel free to disagree. There wasn't like a dynamic personality in this season. Because, in other words, I think about it, season 1, I'm not saying Lorca stole the show, but Lorca stole the show. Season 2, Pike.
Because he's the captain.
Yeah, and then Pike kind of stole the show. But again, you can disagree.
Because he's the captain.
Third season, I mean, they're basically all our characters. We've added some new characters, but they're basically the actual base characters of Discovery. And I'm not saying 3-2-1. I mean, I haven't even answered my own question yet. But, like, it doesn't necessarily have that person. I mean, you know.
Well, you had Saru because he's the captain.
Well, I would say Admiral Vance kind of fills a little bit of that role.
A little bit.
He's an authority figure that you take seriously and, like, you trust what he says.
Because he's
like,
the Admiral. No, you're right. There wasn't a outside character. Like, there was no 31st century presence on the ship that we had to get used to. Like, whereas we had Pike or we had Lorca, you know, like this kind of almost.
Which,
I mean,
wrong.
Lorca
I'm
was
not
obviously
saying Lorca's perfect,
on the ship,
but he was watchable. Like, you were like, what the?
He was interesting.
What the F is going on here? It was Lorca.
Lorca was great because we didn't know. Yeah. And it turned out it was a stupid we didn't know. But it could have just as easily been a really awesome we didn't know what was going on. So, But Philip, answer your own question. Which season would...
Because I rewatched...
You must choose your pain.
Yeah. Well, I when I rewatched season 2 and remembering not liking it, when I rewatched it, because of the frustrations, season 1 I feel like it'd be the same. and then season. I don't know. I don't. I mean, I guess like I said, least not favorite. I guess would be this season. But I guess it was just sort of for me middling. Like I can't think of any episode that like stands out for me in third season. Like oh that one. But nothing really frustrated me. I mean, like the burn, even as big as a arc that was supposed to be, it's almost very little mentioned other than like. There's the burn.
I like the burn more when it was a mystery. Like it, like the first episode, you're like, she's like, what's the burn? And I'm like, I don't know. What is the burn? And if we had not learned what the burn was the entire season, I would have been okay with that.
See, if we never learned what the burn was, if we never, ever knew what
but
it was.
But Michael was and our crew has to move past it.
Yeah.
Because they want to fix it. And it's like, it's not about fixing it. It's about how do we move past it with the Emerald Chain. It's a metaphor.
Yeah. You don't always get to solve the problem. And not only solve it, but wrap it up in a bow. But anyways, Philip, so final thoughts, season three and this episode.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, the whole starting in a new future is frustrating and interesting. I mean, frustrating, of course, because, I mean, I like exploring what the Federation as a utopia is and how we can live in that utopia or not live. And so now we're in this... For lack, a little dramatic, but post-apocalyptic Federation, if you will. I mean, you know what I mean.
Basically, yeah.
And so, but I think it would have been interesting to see more things about this future. We just seem to get bogged down in certain things. I mean, we got Navarro, we got Trill. We sort of got cameo appearances once a planet episode. So it was all right. Nothing made me yell at the TV too much. So.
That's fair. Yeah. No, you know, I guess I'd pick season three over the other two, but I don't love it. And the more I have to watch it, just Discovery's not my thing. That's all.
Yeah. And we've all kind of agreed it's not our favorite of the new Trek, which is fine. It doesn't have to be.
I'm not saying
favorite.
Any other ones are perfect either. It's just, this is maybe least perfect.
No, certainly not. No, definitely not.
But for those who like it, we're glad you
like it. And we'll keep watching for sure. But you know, we'd actually get a really big break. In fact, I don't think we're even aware of what's coming next, right? We know.
I don't think we know when.
Yeah,
we're getting more Trek.
Yeah. We know that season two of Lower Decks is in production, as well as season four of Discovery. And I believe season two of Picard. Oh yeah, and Stranger Worlds. So there's a whole bunch of stuff coming for sure. But we don't know when. We haven't seen any trailers or even teasers, so it's probably going to be a good couple month break.
And you know, given COVID, and I know some people are filming, some people aren't, but we
just the ability to make it is slowed down.
Which is fine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Understand.
Which actually may benefit it in the long run. For all we know, you know, things they
Daniel,
spend some more time on production.
I noticed you didn't list Section 31 on your.
Oh man! So they released a. They released that one like poster image of Michelle Yeoh for Section 31, and I was like, maybe that's it. Maybe that's all they've done so far. Maybe they haven't written anything.
I like how we're all hoping they'll forget about it. We're all like, if we don't say anything.
If we don't talk about it, it'll never come out.
I don't think it's happening. I think it's been too long. We've moved past that into other things they want to focus on.
Darren, we literally just saw Giorgio like three episodes ago. They haven't moved too far past it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we're hoping.
It could happen. Yeah.
I'll put a bet down. I don't think we ever see Section 31. I don't think we ever see Section 31.
Well, of course.
All right. So, yeah. Well, so
you never see Section 31.
Yeah.
Oh god.
So
you lose, Darren, because Section 31's everywhere. It's always been there.
So listen next week because we're actually going to have to try to come up with a topic, an original topic. It'll be fun. We'll actually talk maybe some classic Star Trek or something. So Darren, if people need to get a hold of you, how would they find you on the internet?
They can find me on my website, drscifi.com, and on YouTube under Darren Moser.
And Philip. If people want to talk with you as well, how would they find you?
Well, folks want to talk to me about their favorite moments from Discovery, and I'm not being silly about that. I mean, I'd like to know. I'm not going to make fun of you, but I'm always interested to hear from people. They can find me at NC Public Servant.
And if people want to find me, they can find me on Twitter, at OneUpDan. That is the number one, not the word. We will catch you next week, although Discovery won't be around. I am Daniel Brew.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I am Darren Moser.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3 with no dilithium.